Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, the show that brings you man-on-the-street interviews, celebrity guests, and groundbreaking research. Our show is also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. I'm general dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and thank you for joining me today.
The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to dentallyspeaking.com or iTunes, keywords Dr. Kvitko or Dentally Speaking. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dentally Speaking. I really appreciate you coming and getting up and listening to the show today. Just so you know, podcasts of every episode we've ever done are available at dentallyspeaking.com. They are also available on iTunes. And also, if you would go to my office Facebook page and like us, I would like that. My office Facebook page is Dr. Kvitko and Associates. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Dr. Kvitko. That's DrKvitko at Dr. Kvitko. All right. Today we are going to be talking about combat gum. Now, combat gum is this new idea, this new product that is being developed by the military, by a couple gentlemen, a couple researchers. I'm going to introduce them. I'm going to read you their bios right now. One is Dr. Robert Hale. He's an oral and maxillofacial surgeon. He's also a colonel. The other is Dr. Kai P. Leung, and he is a microbiologist, just like my son. All right, so let me go ahead and read you their bios. Colonel Hale received his dental degree in 1981 from Emory University, College of Dentistry in Atlanta, Georgia. After 4 years as a general dental officer in the Army, he spent the next 4 years at Emory doing his oral and maxillofacial surgery residency, obtaining his postdoctorate certificate in 1989. He became board certified in 1992 and then recertified in 2002 and 2012. From 1989, he spent the next 15 years as a private practicing oral surgeon, although he was deployed to Kuwait and Afghanistan from 2003 until 2005. In 2005, he became the Department of Oral and Maxillofacial Surgery Residency Assistant Program Director at the Brooke Army Medical Center in Fort Sam Houston, Texas, and after several promotions, he is now the commander of the U.S. Army Dental and Trauma Research Detachment at the San Antonio Military Medical Center. Dr. Kai Leung received his Bachelor's of Science in Agriculture in 1972 from National Taiwan University, his Master's in Microbiology from San Jose State in 1976, and his Ph.D. in Microbiology from the University of Hawaii in 1981. He is currently the Director of Science, U.S. Army Dental and Trauma Research Detachment, U.S. Army Institute of Surgical Research. His research interests center around host-bacteria interactions and has been studying the mechanisms by which bacteria adhere and colonize host cells and tissues. A great part of his recent research activities have focused on the use of antimicrobial peptides to control the growth of biofilms in the oral cavity and in wounds. All right, so Colonel Hale and Dr. Leung, thank you so much for being on my show today. I really appreciate it. It's nice of you guys to do this.
We're very happy to be here.
Likewise.
So I'll tell you what, when I saw this article about combat gum, it says Army develops combat gum to fight soldiers' cavities. First of all, how long did it take to get from this early research, which I understand started with wounds? You were investigating wounds, and you discovered that there was this K pneumonia, right, that was present?
Well, I think it initially started off with exactly what you first said, to look at a way to reduce decay in our soldiers, primarily when they're deployed overseas.
Okay.
And it's been a research project that spans about 7 years. It involved multiple experiments and developments. And really, and I'm not a scientist, Dr. Leung is a scientist, but he explains to me slowly all these scientific terms so I can understand them. But it's modeled after a natural occurring molecule that's secreted in the mouth called the fensins. So he found a peptide using a combinatorial library, again, a big word, of known peptides, so that he could put together a synthesized sequence of defensins, and then he tested it. Now, Kai, you fill in the blanks there.
That's exactly correct. So the first step we did was to understand really basically the physical and chemical properties of naturally occurring defenses that what Carl Health described.
Hey, and Dr. Leong, the natural occurring, tell me, can you guys spell the word? Is it Stensons? How do you spell that word? I'm not sure I understand the word.
Spell S, D as in delta, E as in echo, F as in foxtrot, E as in echo, N as in November, F as in Sam.
Okay.
I as in India, N as in November, the Stensons.
Stensons. Okay.
I think Kai's been in the Army too much.
Oh.
along the way, good or bad, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, defenses is naturally occurring in our oral cavity to defend, to provide a layer or the first line of defense, what we call innate response.
Innate response, okay.
Nevertheless, the physiological levels of these molecule is very, very low. Now, if we got challenged, let's say bacterial challenge, it will elevate to some level, but still the amount that is present is, it may not be sufficient to fight off, but it does serve a role. So what we did was we take this concept, use the combinatorial chemistry like what Carl Health described, and mimic some of the properties related to this molecule and created this synthetic peptide. When we did that, we think about cost, we think about structure, we think about efficacy. So this is one of the smallest synthetic antimicrobial peptides that is available, and it consists of 10 naturally occurring amino acids.
Okay, so you took 10 naturally occurring amino acids and made it into a peptide.
Exactly.
Okay.
And mixed them up. Okay.
And really, it's meant to act just like the fensins. It enhances our body's innate immunity against bacteria. And the reason for the smallest number of amino acids is really the expense of synthesizing a protein or a peptide. So it's not as expensive, say, if it was 20 amino acids, which would be almost impossible to synthesize. So
okay. Really
what Kai did is he capitalized on our knowledge of what works in the mouth naturally against bacteria, synthesized a peptide sequence, and tested it extensively. And it's proved to be very safe in our models. That's our, way we test these drugs. And also, it hasn't shown any resistance. It doesn't change, bacteria doesn't change and work against it or destroy it.
Oh, that's
yet,
neat.
When you swallow it, the gastric juices or the intestinal juices destroys it completely, so it doesn't affect your bacteria flora in your gut, which antibiotics do. So
wow.
It's antibiotic. And that's the big thing about this particular molecule.
So you not only have created this combat gum, but in the process to get there, you've created this little peptide that now can be used commercially in other applications.
It can be exploited for wounds that are in specialized areas of the body. Now, we have a lot of disinfectants that we can use on open wounds, and over 90% of wounds in the battlefield are penetrating, 30% or more are to the face, and I do face. So when you have an open face wound and you try to disinfect it, the disinfectants are very caustic to
right. Tissues
and cause inflammation and scarring. So our hypothesis, now that we have this chewing gum in clinical trials, which we'll talk about, I'm sure.
Yes.
Our hypothesis is that we can apply this peptide in a spray-on gel to a wound from the point of injury. Will get less scarring and less damage to the facial features and function of the face.
Oh, definitely. It seems like it's that should be just automatic. I know you're researchers, so you have to prove it, but it sounds great.
Right. And we're doing just that with some models that we're working with in the lab.
Okay. Hey, now, how do you go from infections and wounds to discovering that this could help with the oral condition?
Well, it's actually just the opposite. We actually looking at it for decreasing the inflammation that bacteria causes, that causes bleeding gums, and then, of course, plaque causes dental disease. And then we came along and said, well, what about wounds? And I would take not full credit for that, but partial credit for exploiting the use of this into wounds.
Right. Well, you being an oral surgeon, obviously the oral cavity is your primary focus, and Dr. Leong was primarily into wounds first, right?
No.
No?
What Carl Health described. So just a couple of sentences about the history of our unit. Our unit was initially stationed up in Chicago.
Okay.
And together with the Navy dental research and as well as for the U.S. Air Force dental research. At that time, our mission is try to reduce the dental emergency rate that's happening within the deployed forces. One of our missions is to come up with a way to reduce some of the emergency rate that were experienced by the deployed soldiers due to tooth decay, due to dental infection, due to gingivitis, and that sort of thing.
Okay.
That's why we initiated that study looking at using antimicrobial peptides for the very good reason that Carl Hale just described to you, being, I always call it user-friendly.
Okay.
Upset your gut flora. And yet, you know, it does not really produce a lot of antimicrobial resistance among the target bacteria. So early on, we built an in vitro model mimic what could be happening within the oral cavity in the sense that we use a bacteria from the human oral cavity, from the saliva, and build a plaque and then test our peptide against that.
Okay.
And then transition to safety in terms of animal safety study, and then transition to formulation, and then ultimately, you know, transition to investigational new drug application and allow us to do the clinical trial.
Right.
Safety as well as for the proof of concept efficacy.
Okay. Even though you synthesize it, it's from natural amino acids, so you didn't, the trials getting FDA approval wasn't as hard?
It was incredibly hard.
It was incredibly hard.
Anything you do with the FDA.
But again, they are doing their job. FDA, just like us, we do our job. They are doing their job. The first, foremost important things that they look at is safety of the humans. And then when we had all the animal safety data that we present to them, and they understand that peptide eventually, once it gets to the gastric intestinal environment, is degraded, and
right.
We did everything we could to trace where did it go, and we could not find anything in the blood. You know, so they are convinced that this is good to go for a safety trial. So we spent about 3 years doing the animal safety study and generated a lot of data indicate that even you overdose, let's say 100 times overdose, you still don't see the side effects within the system. So that's part of the requirements.
Okay.
For the FDA approval for doing the trial.
Because they have all of our safety in mind. So, I mean, I understand, but it's still kind of frustrating that it takes so long. Now, we always do a Dr. Kvitko's question of the day, and we are going to do that real soon. And so, you know what? I think what we'll do is we're going to take a little break. Hey, when we come back, I have several questions. Let me just tell you what some of them are. One is, why gum? Why not a lozenger? What does it taste like? Is it mint or flavored in some other way? What's actually in the gum? Does it work topically, or is it actually absorbed? Those kinds of things. But anyway, before we do Dr. Kvitko's question of the day, we want you to listen to this.
This station will not be held liable for any contesting during Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Participation in the contest allows Dr. Kvitko to record and broadcast your name and call. One winner per household, prizes are non-transferable, cannot be substituted, and are subject to taxes and fees. This station cannot be responsible for the inability to enter the contest, whether due to equipment malfunction or telephone difficulties. All decisions of Dr. Kvitko concerning this contest or eligibility are final.
And now it's time for Dr. Kvitko's question of the day.
All right, so we're doing Dr. Kvitko's question of the day. And today, the question is, our guests, Colonel Hale, Dr. Robert Hale, who is a neurosurgeon, and Dr. Kai Leung, who is a researcher, they've developed this thing called combat gum. And so combat gum will prevent A, cavities, B, gum disease, or C, all of the above. All right, that's Dr. Kvitko's question of the day. The number to call, 459-9769. And let me just remind folks that the winner receives free flowers from Vice Number Florist, delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon. And the number again, 459-9769. So go ahead and call now.
Hey, this is Olympic snowboarder Louis Vito, and make sure you stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Remember the beautiful smile you had before you had dentures? Do your denture teeth not even look like your natural teeth did? Do you not even recognize yourself when you look in the mirror? Call us at 262-9588 and let us help you turn back the clock.
Dr. Kvitko and Associates.
Estás escuchando Dental Speaking con Dr. Kawiko aquí en su sesión favorita.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kawiko.
Are your teeth worn down or have crack lines in them? Do you remember when your teeth were an asset? Porcelain veneers can make your teeth sparkle again, and all in two visits. Interested? Give us a call at 262-9588.
Dr. Kawiko and Associates. Starting with the wisdom. Everybody talks.
All right, so we're back. We're doing Dr. Kawiko's question of the day, and let me just restate the question. The question is, my guests, Colonel Hale and Dr. Leung, have worked on a product called Combat Gum, and it, A, combats cavities, B, combats gum disease, or C, all of the above. Okay, so hey, Colonel Hale and Dr. Leung, we have four callers on the line, and so I always ask my guests if you guys would pick a number from 1 through 4.
2.
You're picking number 2? All right, we're going to go to caller number 2. So, hey, Jim, my producer, please tell us who is the winner of Dr. Kawiko's question of the day. Who wins the flowers from Weissdember Florist?
The winner today of the free flowers is Linda in Grove City.
And congratulations to our winner. All right, so Colonel Hale and Dr. Leung, I want to talk some more about this. And as I mentioned before the break, I had several questions. One is, why gum? Why not a lozenger?
Well, I think it could be, but from a consumer point of view, a lozenge is something for a sore throat. How often do we think about doing that? 20, 30 minutes, 3-4 times a day versus chewing gum, which is ubiquitous. Everyone's chewing gum out there, and I think from a consumer point of view, we'll get better compliance.
Oh, okay. Let me ask you, you have soldiers chew this for 20 minutes after every main meal, not after snacks, but after every main meal. And I think part of the reason is because it's $2 a stick right now. Of course, that'll come down later. But what if somebody just wants to chew it all day? Can they? Is it harmful?
Not at all. So think about nicotine gum and how it hit the market. It was prescription first and became over the counter. It was expensive first and it was inexpensive. This gum, anti-plaque chewing gum, will probably follow the same sequence of events. It will first come out as prescription only for high-risk patients, people who have been identified as having high caries risk, or those with medical conditions like on chemotherapy, who have heart valves or prosthetic joints. Their doctors and dentists could prescribe to them. And think about all those patients who take bisphosphonates for their weak spinal cone.
Osteoporosis.
Right. So there'd be a lot of patients that we normally would say prescription Peridex might be useful, but you know from our experience with Peridex, it's not, the compliance rate is very low.
And it stains the teeth too.
Right. So we want to find something more user-friendly, and that's how Dr. Leung developed this concept with the military support.
So you were saying off the air that initially there was some resistance. People couldn't believe that you could put this in a gum.
Well, there's a lot of resistance. Anytime we're spending any sum of money, there's a lot of questions being asked if this is the appropriate area to spend the money. Statistically, we know that up to 40% of new recruits that come into the Army are high caries risk. That means 3-4 more cavities in their mouth exist.
Right.
Because they come in with this disease that has ravaged their mouth as a teenager. We also know that 15% of the Army population are also considered high caries risk. So how do we take care of this problem? And the answer isn't drill more teeth, it's try to prevent it.
Right.
So we had to go back and convince all the powers to be that strategically it would be important to target a population that we could reduce the caries risk at an early age. And of course, we hope this develops to where it's over-the-counter, just like nicotine gum has.
So what's the efficacy rate? For example, let's say what the standard decay rate is in this population as compared to what it would be if they had started chewing this gum prior?
Well, we won't know that for some years.
Because okay.
Studying is actually gingival inflammation.
Okay.
We could see much quicker if someone's chewing gum versus not chewing gum, rather than doing a 5-10-year study on dental decay rate. But just like Peridex, we know it's effective against gingival inflammation, and we also know it's effective in decay, but we really lack long, longitudinal studies.
Okay. And I think I know that Peridex decreases the bacterial colonies by about 21%. Is that right?
And our target is to make it as this chewing gum at least as effective as Peridex. So we're using Peridex as an FDA RA standard of care drug. And it's a distance effective.
Okay, so if it's as effective as Paradex someday, if we can prove that, then you could essentially be cutting out 20% of the cavities that people would be getting otherwise.
Right, and then, of course, it would be an effective adjunct on those high carry risk patients.
Got it. Wow, that's really neat. Now, what does it taste like?
It tastes just whatever the gum manufacturer wants to make it taste like.
Really? They can put any flavor they want in it?
Right.
Well, so there's some very current information I wanted to share with you is that, as Carl Hell mentioned, that the clinical trial has just taken place a couple weeks ago, and one of the feedbacks that we learned from the clinical testing site is the gum, in terms of the consistency, is acceptable. In terms of taste, is acceptable. However, I cannot taste it unless you're enrolled into the study. So, but that is as current as I can provide at this point.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, sir, there's a couple of things I'd like to provide for your information. Carl Hell mentioned about dry mouth and some of those open syndrome patients and all these.
For people with the dry mouth syndrome? Hey, Dr. Leung, that sounds perfect. I want to hear about that. Hang on just a second. We have to go to a break, and that's what we'll come back to in just a sec, all right? How it affects people with the dry mouth syndrome. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, and we'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko after these messages.
Vous écoutez à la radio du dentiste avec Dr. Kvitko, ici sur votre radio préférée.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Have you always wanted a smile makeover but didn't know where to go? Here at Dr. Kvitko and Associates, we have thousands of happy patients. Stop in and see our before and after pictures. Call us at 262-95-95.
88.
Hi, I'm Dominique Reigert. Like what you hear? Why not use the Dentally Speaking Show to promote your product or service by becoming a sponsor? Call 614-262-9588 to learn how. That's 614-262-9588. Call now or send an email to drkvitko@aol.com.
I'm Grandpa! And I go to Dr. Kvitko and I still have all my teeth. Real ones. Where's my glasses?
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along.
And welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. If you're just joining us, we have with us on the phone from Texas, Colonel Hale. He is an oral surgeon, and he is the commander of the U.S. Army Dental and Trauma Research Detachment at the San Antonio Military Medical Center. And Dr. Kai P. Leung, who is a researcher at the same institute. Okay, so before the break, you wanted to say something about people that have dry mouth. And a lot of people have dry mouth these days because there's over 400 prescription and over-the-counter medicines that dry up salivary flow. So tell me about that.
Yes, sir. Some of the side effects having dry mouth is the emergence of candida albicans, which become prevalent in patients suffering from Sjögren's syndrome, dry mouth syndrome.
Right. Now, candida albicans is their little white patches. Usually they wipe off the mucosal lining of the mouth, and it's kind of a yeast infection in the mouth, correct?
Correct. And okay. It affects people wearing dentures and all those other things. So what this antimicrobial peptide-containing gum could potentially do, although we are not testing that because that would be another indication, is that it has the ability to kill off candida albicans or all the other candida species that are present in the oral cavity. We test about 3 to 4 different species of candida. So this is another effect. The antimicrobial peptide is more broad spectrum, and not just limited to some of the oral bacteria, but also to fungi. That could affect people having dry mouth. Now, also the other things I want to share with you, sir, is that when you chew the gum, you also stimulate the saliva flow, which has a collateral protective effect.
Right.
To your oral health. So I think that's another reason that, like Carl Hell said, that we chose the gum as the platform to deliver the peptide.
As opposed to a lozenger, which will be gone in a few minutes, whereas the gum, they can keep chewing.
Yeah.
Okay. And you said you have not tasted it because you would have to sign up for the study to be able to taste it?
Correct.
That's funny. They can't just slip you a piece when nobody's looking?
it'll probably be mint flavor. Once this is tested, the manufacturer that will actually make this commercial will have some sort of taste testing. But from my understanding, the usual mint is what the company is looking at. And unlike Peridec, this gum and peptide is not known to alter the taste perception.
Of other foods.
It causes an iron-tasting aftertaste.
So one of my questions is the effect topical, or is this actually this peptide absorbed into the bloodstream?
A very, very good question. So in our testing, the peptide basically worked locally because we've done some toxicity studies showing that there's a limitation in terms of penetration through the mucosa within the oral cavity.
Right.
However, this drug, similar to Paradax, in some extent, is that able to absorb onto the teeth and therefore using the teeth as the depot to slow release the peptide. So there would be an interaction between the peptide and the tooth surface back and forth so that there will be some retention of the peptide within the oral cavity, and which is a good thing because that is what we consider to be a more sustained release.
Right. So some of the peptide is absorbed into the pores of the teeth and then later can be used to fight off the new bacteria and the new biofilm that occurs after brushing and flossing.
Correct. And then also because of the equilibrium interaction, then the peptide will release from the tooth surface with time. Because as you swallow, then your saliva has less peptide, and then the peptide that gets absorbed onto the teeth as well as on the mucosal surface will then get released to reach the balance or the equilibrium.
Does this peptide have the ability to remineralize small decalcifications where it's just starting to be a cavity?
No. This peptide, we have not tested the ability of this peptide to remineralize the teeth. However, there's other things that this peptide does is quite interesting. It serves as a scavenger for all the endotoxins that are associated with the gram-negative bacteria.
Okay.
Like for general public, we have two types of bacteria. Gram-positive, gram-negative. A lot of the gram-negative bacteria cause periodontal diseases and that sort of thing. So, and they secrete a lot of toxins, and endotoxins are one of those toxins that they secrete.
Okay, so they work against the gram-negative or positive, did you say?
And so the peptide, per se, work for both gram-positive as well as gram-negative.
Oh, both.
Bacteria, because it's a broad spectrum antimicrobial.
Okay.
But the additional advantage of the peptide is the ability for the peptide to scavenge the endotoxins that are mainly produced by the gram-negative bacteria.
Okay.
We all know that the endotoxins are inflammatory. So we've done some study to show that the peptide per se can really bind to those toxins and neutralize the toxic activity.
Okay. Now, what about the gum disease? Does this treat gum disease that they already have or just prevent it?
It's going to help prevent the perpetuation of disease. Once you have bone loss, of course, it's not going to reverse it.
But what about the inflammation if you just have gingivitis?
We do believe it's going to reduce the inflammation.
Okay, and for my listeners, periodontitis is when you've gone from just having inflamed gums to where you've actually lost bone, and that's inflamed. So the thought is this can eliminate gingivitis if you haven't already gotten into the periodontitis state.
Yeah, and these are all hypothetical claims. Obviously, we don't know yet.
Okay.
So we have to be very careful not to make claims other than to say that we're testing this gum and our target is reduced inflammation that causes gingivitis by destroying bacteria. And doing so, we feel long-term, it also helps the dentition from KT.
Wow. Colonel Hale and Dr. Leung, if somebody wanted to learn more about this, is there a way that they can maybe go online where it's not quite as technical as when I looked up Dr. Leung's paper?
I would like that to happen, but any publications on this potential product would have to be cleared through the FDA.
Okay.
Believe it or not.
So they're just going to have to listen to this podcast over and over again if they want to understand it, right?
They just trust their government in researching something which potentially could be another type of flora for a public health use.
That is really cool. Well, I want to thank you guys for being on the show. I'd love to have you on again because I don't think we've covered it all. I think we just maybe scratched the surface. What do you think? Maybe we can do it again?
I think we should talk about peptide and its use on patients who have face burns.
Okay, yeah, let's do that. We'll pick a date. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Thank you so much for being on my show. Be sure to tune in next Sunday and every Sunday. Goodbye. Happiness is the truth, because I'm happy.
This is Carly Red from Love & Hip Hop Atlanta, the hit show on VH1, urging you to tune in next week for another exciting episode of Dentally Speaking with my dentist, Dr. Kavitko.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to dentallyspeaking.com to access full episodes of Dr. Kavitko's show.
If you would like to book Dr. Kavitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. Or send an email to drkavitko@dentallyspeaking.com. That's drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com.